this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we've got an exclusive recording of Talkback Radio shock jock Paul Keating in action. We've got the revolting details of Michael Jackson's new Tackle Out video. Mick Malloy sends a cheerio to Yasser Arafat, the mother of all fathers. We've got another moment of truth on Radio Gladiators. We want to know if you've ever been mistaken for a celebrity, please. No calls, Kate Fisher. And popping in for a bit of a yak, Wendy Harmer. It's all coming up on the show that makes Chris Isaak forget he's left the bath running, Martin Malloy. Yes. Good thing that's Fine Young Cannibals welcoming you to Martin Malloy for Thursday with myself, Tony Martin, as always. And this bloke, yes, the rumours are true. He's already in rehearsals. He's got the moves down and he's fit and primed to step into the shoes of Robbie Williams and lead Take That into the Next Century, Mick Malloy.
Thanks, Tone. It's going well.
I like you're in costume for the show and yes. I'm always impressed by that.
I hope they get my picture on the merchandising.
I hope so. Now, look, Paul Keating, have you been following his performance over the last couple of days?
He's turning into a bit of a grumble bum, isn't he?
He is. He's been out on the Talkback Radio trail defending his performance with the economy and the deficit
vigorously.
And inflation. He's been going right off. He's been a bit aggro, a bit hot under the collar. In fact, I think he's actually on a rival station at this very moment. And what we might do is have a bit of a listen. Let's just tune over if we can. Hear what he's up to.
Welcome back. You're listening to a proper radio program. And with us today, taking your calls, the Prime Minister. Ask our head caller.
Hello, Mr. Keating. The record current account deficit...
Oh, look, you would have to bring that up, wouldn't you?
Well, it's pretty hard to ignore.
No, it's not. It's quite simple. Just do what I do. Cover your ears.
Right.
And repeat after me. Not listening,
not listening.
Yeah, see, it's a piece of piss. Just do that whenever the news comes on.
Thanks.
Next caller.
Hello, Mr. Keating. It seems to me our economy is in an even more precarious position than ever before with inflation rates.
The Prime Minister, surely you can't ignore the deficit. Oh, look, I will say this. Managing the economy is exactly like buying a house. What, so you go into debt to secure yourself an investment? No, you suck up to the banks, you sell everything you've got, and you end up with a massive pain in the arse, but you bullshit to everybody about how well it's going. Next caller.
Mr. Keating, what about inflation?
Oh, for f*** sake, you people are so bloody negative. Why can't you take a positive approach to things like me?
But John Howard says...
Oh, he's a complete idiot. He wouldn't know his ass from his elbow. He's got no policies and no bloody idea.
Isn't that a bit negative?
Oh, piss off.
Hello, I'm a pensioner.
You too. Go on, piss off.
Mr. Keating...
Not interested. Piss off.
Hi, I'm calling about the Silverchair competition.
Piss off. Mr. Keating, surely the result of the Queensland state election has sent a clear message to your government.
Yes, it has. Labor was re-elected, therefore... Everybody loves me.
But, Prime Minister, they were only re-elected by 16 votes.
That's 16 Australians you're talking about, mate. 16 living, breathing individuals, each with their own hopes and dreams and needs, and each with a lot of love to give me. And you know what? I've got a lot of love to give in return. Kim?
Australia, I can't get enough of your love, baby. You know I can feel your love, and I thank each and every one of you. Sure, it's a big deficit, and it takes a big man to keep it under control, if you know what I'm saying, and I think you do. I'm the one with the incumbency, and if you're talking inflation, let me tell you, ladies, you ain't seen nothing yet. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll take you out with Foreigner. They're as cold as ice, they're willing to pay the price. Better music and more of it. I'll be back to take your calls next week.
Do not adjust your radio.
Come To me, that's Diesel here on Martin Molloy. And Mick, how's this for a wonderful story in the paper today? PLO leader Yasser Arafat became a dad yesterday. His wife gave birth to a baby girl. Well, it would have been a baby girl in France. Suha Arafat, that's his wife's name, expressed hope that the infant would symbolise peace for all Palestinians.
That's lovely news. Isn't that great, Tone? I think they were secretly hoping for a boy, though, because they'd prepared a list of names, and I know they were quite keen on Fabio. Yeah. Yasser, of course, had his heart set on Snoop Doggy, but
wasn't to be.
Not this time. Maybe they can try again.
Absolutely.
There you go. You know how, this is an interesting thing, Tone, you know how at births, as soon as the baby's born, they take it, and they usually wrap it in a blanket. Well, Tone, with the Arafats, I hope they choose that blanket wisely, because this little sucker's going to be wearing it for the rest of his life. Have a look at Yasser. Have that thing on his head. That's what he was wrapped in when he was born. His mum gave birth. They realised they had nothing. They've all gone, oh, Jesus, what are we going to use? Someone's run into the kitchen and said, I found a tea towel. Bing! It's on the noggin. There you go. That's how it happens, you know. Starts off. They're wrapping him in it, and then as he got older, it became a bit of a sarong, and then in his formative years, a bit of a loincloth, bingo, there it is on the head. I suppose he's lucky they had a tea towel handy, really. I mean, imagine if all they had was a handkerchief.
Oh.
By now he'd look more like a character from the Benny Hill Show than the leader of the PLO. But anyway, I hope that they don't wrap this new baby in the same material as Yasser's headgear, because that could be quite confusing, because when you see Mrs. Arafat walking down the street, you wouldn't know whether that was a baby in her arms or whether she had Yasser in a headlock.
S-A-F-M.
Martin Molloy.
Well, we've had Band-Aid and Live-Aid, and this week in Britain saw the launch of the first international Rock Against Want. But organisers are denying allegations that no big names have actually agreed to take part. With us to talk about this is the man behind Rock Against Want, Mr. Ronnie Stiles.
Thanks very much, Tony. It's great to be here. I love your show. I love your work. I think what you're doing is fantastic, and more power to you, because in these times of gloom and doom, the world needs a good laugh. Am I right? I think I am.
Firstly, Ronnie, what's your background?
Well, I'm actually a musician myself. I was a keyboardist in a very successful band back in the 80s. We had a lot of hits.
Which band was that?
Well, I don't like to blow my own horn a big note myself, because people get very standoffish.
Come on, who was it?
It was Kajagoogoo.
Kajagoogoo,
you remember. Too shy, hush, hush.
Right, what about these claims that you haven't been able to attract any big names?
Look, that's complete nonsense. We've had a lot of big names. People like Paul McCartney, Robert Plant, Bruce Springsteen, Tina Turner. They've all called us up and said they're not interested. But we do have Stephen Tintin Duffy.
Really?
A Flock of Seagulls have reformed. We've got a terrific supergroup made up of one of the guys who was in Men Without Hats. Yeah. Remember the safety dance? Fantastic. Yeah. We've got one of the Proclaimers, the black guy from the Thompson Twins who just used to play the tambourine.
Anyone from Australia?
Yeah, we've got someone who claims to have been in Wah Wah Nee, and one of the Blakeney Twins, the one with the wonky mouth. So, you know, it's a stellar lineup, and not to be sniffed at, I think you'll agree.
Now, you've got a single out.
Yes, it's called You Probably Don't Remember Us, but if you could see your way clear to give us some cash, we'd be eternally grateful.
And the proceeds go to?
They go to us,
but surely the...
Look, it's Rock Against Want. It's for people who are wanting, and if you have a look at that list of names, I think you'll agree, it's pretty wanting.
Right, you're also doing the Walk Against Want. What's that exactly?
It's people, rock stars, walking against want. They're getting up in the morning and saying, bugger want, I'm sick of it, and just walking against it until there's no more want. I think it's great. I think it's to be encouraged. And there's other events too. We're doing having your hair done against want, crashing your speedboat against want. Andrew Ridgely's doing that one. Right. And there's the wank against want.
And that involves?
Morrissey comes out on stage and does 25 tracks off his new album.
Let's stick together. That's Brian Ferry here on Martin Molloy. And people, in the next hour, Wendy Harmer's going to be popping in for a chat. And she'd normally just be going to bed about now.
Absolutely. Tail end of the day for her.
Yeah, does the breakfast radio, so she's up very early in the morning. Mm. So we've woken her up and she's going to be in. Also, Radio Gladiators on the way. But what have we got now, Mick?
Oh, look, I've found a bit of a story on John Denver. You remember John Denver, don't you, Tone?
Is it a slow news day again, Nick?
No, this is of importance, I feel.
Really?
John Denver is facing a drink driving charge after allegedly crashing his Porsche. Well, I think that had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Into a tree near his Aspen, Colorado home. It's just interesting, isn't it? So he's hit a tree. If you ask me, he was probably bloody lucky he didn't end up in that Shenandoah River he's always bleating about in his songs. I mean, we all know he loves the Rocky Mountains, but there's no need to go and impale yourself on him, son. The cops didn't breathalyse him. They just handed him a guitar and said, play Calypso, which he did, and did so well the charge of drink driving was changed to offensive behaviour in a public place. But look, Tone, if I may,
yeah.
I'd like to recreate the accident for you.
A reenactment?
A reenactment, as I think it might have happened.
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah.
So this is going to be John Denver stacking his car on his much-beloved country road.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need a bit of Atmos. Gracie, can we... I need something like a car... Could be the Rockies. Have you got something there like that? That should do the trick.
Very nice.
All right, so here I am. You've got to imagine. I'm John Denver. I'm in the car. I'm
okay.
Driving through the Rockies.
I'm imagining Mick.
Hum-da-dum-da-dum. Yes, the Rockies. I love this town. I might even sing a song. Almost heaven. West Virginia. Blue Ridge Mountains. Shenandoah River. Life is old there. Older than the trees!
Time. Martin Malloy, where I believe it's time for...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today we're asking, have you ever been mistaken for somebody famous? Mick and myself are often mistaken for somebody famous, but I'm afraid you're wrong.
Tell me about it.
And, of course, I think we're all sick of hearing how I'm often mistaken for Andrew Denton, but it really does happen, and usually by drunk people who challenge me to a fight.
Absolutely.
I don't know why they think that Andrew Denton's going to be a good fighter. But it happens all the time. I'll be at a railway station. Mate, you're Andrew Denton, aren't you? No, you are. But now that's exactly the reason that he changed the colour of his hair, just to help me out.
Absolutely.
And what about yourself, Mick? Do you?
Oh, Macaulay Culkin. There's a name. There's a name I hear a lot. You know, I can't see it myself, but you know, you live with it, don't you?
It's a bit of a stretch, but I can. Yeah, sure. From certain angles. Now, so we want you to just call us up and tell us who you've been mistaken for and the circumstances, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We'd prefer if they were true, by the way.
Please.
And, well, the prizes. I think we all know about the three-pack of CDs.
Mm-hmm.
It now features the Madonna Bedtime Stories album. And, oh, this album, it's so hot, Mick.
Mm.
It's the kind of album that gets Charlie Sheen reaching for the phone. With his Visa card in one hand. It's just that steamy.
Absolutely.
And, of course, you go into the draw. Every week, the five winning contestants on Gladiators go into the draw for that trip for two for a weekend at Le Meridian at the Rialto Hotel in Melbourne. And I should point out, it's from anywhere across the big brown land. It doesn't just have to be Melbourne. We'll get you there somehow.
Mm.
And it is, what is it, Mick? It's
the heart of Europe. The heart, the soul of Europe in the heart of Melbourne.
You've memorised it perfectly. Good on you. And it is indeed, and I won't hear otherwise. And if you'd like to play Radio Gladiators, just call us up and tell us who, well, of a famous nature, who you've been mistaken for, and you could be up for that prize pool. Call now, 1-800-657-657.
Martin Malloy on the all-new SAFM. Martin Malloy.
I'm completely drenched in Gatorade, listeners.
Back after this.
Martin Malloy, we're playing Radio Gladiators, and the challenge today, we want to know, have you been mistaken for someone famous or a celebrity? And Mick Malloy's on the phone, and I'm hearing him say this. No, mate, no, it has to be somebody famous. Nah, not your next door. Your next door, no. Some blokes, you know.
So the guy in the corner who makes the hamburgers. And I'm going, oh, yeah, oh, that's very famous. People fly from all around the world to go there. I'm often mistaken for Dave next door. One of the numbers has fallen off the letterbox. That's not what we're after. So, and it has to be someone famous, so I'm afraid we can't accept Mark Jacko Jackson. Mm. Introduce the gladiators, Mick Malloy. We have Lakia. Is that right, Lakia?
No, Lakia.
Lakia. I told you, Tony.
She's often mistaken for Lakia. Lakia. That's what happens. Who are you mistaken for, Lakia?
Naomi Campbell.
Oh, really? How old are you?
15
mistaken for Naomi Campbell. Mm. Have you written a book?
No.
Oh, well, neither is Naomi Campbell, apparently. So,
So you'd be spending all your spare time down the fashion cafe, would you?
No, I mean, I don't even look that much like her. Like, I've got completely different hair, but this guy just came up to me and says, are you Naomi Campbell?
All right, that
wasn't Michael Hutchins, was it?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's not bad. Have we got Simon there?
Simon?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you today?
Oh, I can't complain at all. Now, who are people always confusing you for?
Well, there's one particular guy in a Melbourne car park about a year ago who had an argument with me for about 5 minutes. He was convinced that I was Luke from Home and Away, one of the ex-school teachers.
A school teacher on Home and Away.
The only similarity is that we've got long hair and it's the same colour, but his is curly, mine's straight, and we look completely different.
And you've been confused with an ex-school teacher.
Yes.
Jeez, that must make you feel good. Did you have the leather patches on your plaid jacket?
Actually, no. My jeans were full of holes, I think, actually, so that'd probably pass as a school teacher.
It certainly would on Heartbreak High.
Yeah, for anyone on Home and Away.
This guy was adamant that he didn't watch the show himself, but his two daughters did, and occasionally he passed the TV when it was on.
It's an old and familiar story. I've used that one myself. Now, have we got Beverly there? Beverly?
Hello?
Who are you mistaken for?
Oh, Meg Ryan.
Oh, really? Meg Ryan?
Yeah.
Would it be impolite of us to ask you to do perhaps a scene from When Harry Met Sally?
No, that isn't why they thought of me.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, Bev. And do you use this to your advantage? Do you try and get a good table at a restaurant, that kind of thing?
No, I had all my hair cut off now, so I used to have long, shaggy blonde hair.
Right, so now you're mistaken for Tank Girl.
It's okay. Sinead O'Connor. Was Meg Ryan.
Okay, not a bad one. I think we can go better, though. Have we got Tanya there?
Yes.
Who are you mistaken for, Tanya?
Well, actually, it's two people. Like, I don't know how famous they are, but Karen Knowles off Young Talent Time.
Right.
And Fiona Coote, the heart transplant girl.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and what's the similarity? Who do you think you look like?
I can't see myself looking like either of them. I've just got probably a fat face, dimples and blonde hair.
Right, can you belt out a bit of Karen Knowles tunes for us?
Not a chance. Tone deaf.
Okay, fair all enough. Right. Have we got Rebecca?
Yeah, sure have.
Rebecca, you're always confused for?
Oh, no, just once these two English tourists come up to me at DY and said that I look like Roseanne.
Did you punch the tourist in the mouth?
Yeah, I walked off with a few on Saturdays.
And can you do a Roseanne?
No, I don't think so.
Right,
I don't look like her anymore. I've got my hair blonde now, so...
You got a tattoo on your butt?
No, actually on my back.
Have you? What's the tattoo of?
It's a leprechaun saying fighting Irish.
Fighting Irish?
Yeah, I'm Irish.
All right, you're Irish. You weren't drunk.
Well,
okay. All right, thanks, Rebecca.
And Thank you.
We've got time for one more, Mick.
Yes, we've got Lisa on the line. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
Lisa?
Lisa, are you still with us? Oh, that's a pity. We just got to have a consultation
here.
Here
we go, Lisa.
Yes, I think the people from Telstra have been in with the welding equipment.
Hello, Lisa.
Hang on a second. On 18, Gracie.
And yes, this will all be edited out when this segment's put to air. Well, that's a real pity because apparently Lisa's mum is often mistaken for Doug Mulray. And I think
her mum might have got to her before she got on air.
I think so. Imagine, I don't think that's a compliment at all. And what does that mean? Mistaken? Do you think she looks like Doug Mulray, or is it just that she keeps vanishing for no apparent reason? So we're going to have to choose a winner from someone there. What do you reckon, Mick?
Well, look, you know, anyone who's copped the Roseanne lookalike on the chin and taken it in their stride and gone to the trouble of getting an Irish tattoo on their back
it
is a winner of something.
Yes, the fanfare and Rebecca, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, you've got yourself the three-pack of CDs. One of them's Madonna, and does that get you excited?
Oh, very.
And, of course, you could be going to Le Meridian at the Rialto, and they just love people with tats there, so you'll fit right in. And
cool.
Thanks for playing Radio Gladiators.
No problem.
Okay, stick
bye
around,
bye.
People. After the news, we'll be joined by Wendy Harbour.
This is Martin Malloy.
The incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed-up zombies.
Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
All right, that's enough of that. Right now you can check out the Thunders playing SAFM and Coca-Cola's Ice Cold Stash.
We've ventured out to Pizza Hut at Salisbury this hour with Coke Caps.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, another riveting moment of truth. We take you behind the scenes on Michael Jackson's controversial and raunchy new video. But next up, we'll be on for a yak with Wendy Harmer, and it's all courtesy of Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
Martin Malloy on the all-new SAFM.
It's the second hour, and we've hosed out the studio to welcome our guest. She's an early morning person who's gone out of her way to be with us today. It's Wendy Harmer. Wendy, thanks for coming in.
Hello. How are you, Mr. Martin or Mr. Malloy?
Yeah, I'm the one with the glasses, Mr.
Oh, okay.
Martin. And I'm the other one. How are you, Wendy?
Oh, very well, thank you.
That's the way.
Now, what have you been up to lately, Win, that we should know about?
Oh, my life's a tragedy. You know, I get up at 4 a.m. every day in the wintertime and slog in and do a few jokes on the radio. You know, life just goes by in a blur, really. A blur of, mobile net ads and... You'd know, wouldn't you?
Oh, you know. We're familiar with that format. Now, just before the news, we were talking about... being mistaken for other people, perhaps other famous people. Does this happen to you at all?
Well, I must say, there's a couple of thoughts here. Before I started to perform and everything, and I was living down in Geelong in my sort of early 20s, I guess, I used to get mistaken for Denise Drysdale all the time. I had the helmet head on, you know what I'm saying? The little helmet head. And
all those duets with Ernie Sigley weren't helping.
That wasn't so bad, but when your boyfriend gets mistaken for Ernie Sigley, that is tragic. And now since my face is known, this is the most embarrassing thing. People write into me and say, you look exactly like my sister, and all having closed a photo, and you look at the photo and go, ah! That's a lot more tragic, believe me.
So it's not a compliment. We had a girl on the phone. We lost her. There was a bit of satellite trouble. And her mother is mistaken for Doug Mulray. But we never got to speak to her.
Oh, I know what it is. It's that waft of gossamer. And she walks in the room, the old VO5. You know, he's got the problem here, is our Doug.
He has bad hair.
So it looks like a spider on top. You know, anyway, I won't go into it.
Sorry about that. You might not want to talk about this. You're a Sydney person. What's happened to Doug Mulray? What happened to that TV show?
Well, apparently he's just gone away to contemplate his navel. The gossip is that actually he's sort of closed down all his production companies and everything as well, and has gone away to, attain enlightenment or something.
Just wandering around in a caftan. That kind of thing.
A leisure suit, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Something in velour.
Now, while we're in the...
A leather leisure suit.
Oh, I'll bet. Very tight. He loves it. Now, we're talking Sydney, social scene, the Bob and Blanche wedding, were you there?
Yes, quite frankly. And I tell you what, there was a bit of a bun fight over the $30 bamboo steamer. Let me tell you, we got there to David Jones, there was like 50 of us had put our name down for it, and it was ugly, I tell you. And the only other thing was the polishing cloths, you know. There were things that no one wanted, like the one-way ticket to Burma, you know, that was going begging. But I was thinking about the honeymoon. I mean, where are they?
I don't know.
Now, the goss is that they are in a place up in outside Darwin, up north, called Seven Spirit Bay. Now, Seven Spirit Bay is an eco-tourism place where you go at one to commune with nature, and it only take a few people. Can you imagine your luck? Right.
Oh, no.
You're a bit stressed out at work. You think you'll go and commune with nature. You've spent the dosh. You get there. G'day, my name's Bob. This is Blanche.
Oh, no.
You know, and every bit of native flora and fauna for about a 100-mile radius just, you know, disappear. Yeah. I mean, it would be bad luck.
He's game going up to Darwin with those new euthanasia laws, isn't he?
And, oh, that would be fun being there with Bob and Blanche. And then just when you think it can't get any worse out from a rock, it's Doug Mulray, the caftan. But, Wendy, you're a fountain of gossip today. We want to hear some more. Can you stick around?
I've got heaps, yes.
As long as we're not keeping you from bed.
No, look, I usually keep about 7:30.
Okay.
So I can, you know.
But you can get a bit of a snooze in during the next couple of songs.
Yeah, well, I brought my slips, my Ugg boots with me, my slips, my pink chenille. I'll be right. Don't you worry, I'll just curl up. I'll be fine.
You get yourself comfy. We'll be back for more of a chat with Wendy Harmer in just a moment.
And we'll be restoring normality.
Here on Martin Molloy, where Wendy Harmer's popped in. Are you still with us,
mm-hmm,
Wendy?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Now, we were just watching the telly, and because really that's what we like to do during the songs. looking for, you know, jokes, of course.
Yeah.
And research. And that ad came on for, you know, Radiant, the granules.
Oh, I love that. That is my favourite ad.
Yeah.
You know what I love is the whole, you know, the whole organisation that they've got going to get that bloody shirt clean. And I think it's a great, I was just wondering, is that joint next to the Ponds Institute? That's the other thing. But, I mean, they put so much effort. I'm wondering whether, actually, it looks like a NASA set, don't you think? And I'm wondering whether they're trying to put, actually, the first business shirt into space. You know, a Polacco 42-inch chest.
But that's just been done specially for the ad. You know that the real Radiant Laboratory is probably just a couple of rooms and a couple of blokes fagging on down at a collective laundromat.
But I love, I mean, everything. So, I mean, women's cosmetics these days, like, they're all people walking around in white lab coats. You know, to go and buy a blusher these days, you have to take a urine test, really. And everything's, all these incredibly long scientific names for things, AHAs, like triple alpha hydroxy something. I mean, you know, is it a NASA engine housing, or do I stick it on my face? I don't know.
Who wants to go to the Ponds Institute? You just want a bit of lippy. You don't want a solution to the Ebola virus problem, do you?
That's exactly right.
But we lead the way. I tell you, another one I like is that Institute of Sport, where it seems to me they're just force-feeding people Nutri-Grain, and they've got that just right formula. Oh, still too heavy. Oh, it's too light now.
It's a lot of science. Australian technology, Australian know-how. That's where we're heading.
Now, another thing is, last night, mm-hmm. Mick and myself, of course, on the couch watching the weddings program.
You guys together. Should get out more, really.
Research. Well, we've got planning to do for our show. But now, Wendy, you're married. Would you ever consider subjecting the lead-up to your marriage, the wedding, to be film for a TV series? Would you have done that? What would that have been like as a series?
I think I'd have to work myself up to a line of, geez, I'm going to rich. I mean, I think I don't know. I mean, I think actually what would be more interesting is what happened after the wedding.
Yes.
Four of our guests slept under trees in Rushcutters Bay Park, which, I mean, I think that would have made it more interesting. The X-Files, I think the aftermath would have made. And the funniest thing happened at our wedding, actually. We got married last December and Andrew Denton was there. You know, other sort of people I knew from comedy and things like that. So I guess that, the speeches were appalling, basically, because every time they looked down in the audience, there'd be, you know, the Doug Anthony All-Stars would be there, or, you know, this comedian or Andrew Denton, and they just all folded. They're all the speech makers. It was very funny. But the funniest thing was that Andrew, after the wedding, all the guests individually came to us and went, oh, I don't know whether this was the right thing to do, but I just had to go up to Andrew and tell him a joke and have my photo taken with him. And he's such a nice guy. And after I added it up, I realised that over like a four-hour stretch, 200 people had gone up and told Andrew Denton and Choke and had their photo taken with him. And he was actually gracious enough to say, I had a great time, but it must have been a nightmare, really.
I reckon it would have been better if he'd stormed out like a showbiz arsehole, tipping over tables along the way, saying, stuff this wedding, stuff Wendy Harmer, you can all go to hell.
No, 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 no. We had plenty of ordinary people doing that. We didn't need someone for showbiz.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, Wendy, thanks for sharing that story with us.
You're welcome.
And, oh, by the way, thanks for going out of your way and coming in on the show today.
Oh, that's all right. Look, actually, to tell you the truth, the old, the boss has sort of, he's given me a bit of a glass of champers for coming in.
Oh.
So there you are.
Well,
so
that's more than we get.
You can't do better than that, can you?
Okay,
well, look, I'm really, can I just, I know, I'm really enjoying the show. It's just great.
Good on you, Wendy.
Because you guys are such bastards, you make me look good. You know what I mean? I'm looking like the soft option, and I think that's great.
We're here to help, Wendy. So thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
We have normality.
Right now it's time for
Moment of Truth.
The competition that's basically multi-choice. It's that simple, and prizes, well, firstly, just for entering, you get a copy of the Max Sharam album, I've got a Million Year Girl. Is that correct? Have we been calling it a Million Dollar Girl? Is that what Pete Smith's been saying? We've been fed the wrong information on this program.
Maybe she's changed it.
Maybe she's changed it. She'd do that because she's a performance artist.
She is indeed.
And she's in on the show next week, and I'm keen to ask her about the album because I believe she's...
Well, that's the links we have to go to sort this out, do we?
Go to the author.
What's your album called?
Just a bit of a tip. I reckon we should get the name right before she comes in.
All right.
But anyway, on the album, she's not just singing. She's doing a bit of the performance art. And, you know, who knows what she's up to, because performance art, that's what that's...
You can get away with just about anything, I think.
You can just wrap yourself up in polythene and attack a zebra with a cello, really, and that's performance art.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And Belbray. Tell us about Belbray, Mick. You go into the draw for a trip to Belbray.
You go into the draw for a trip to Belbray. You go to Belbray, and what you do is basically you cross a threshold. You know people who say they've died and they've seen the other side
and then they come back.
It was a white light and it was beautiful and it was just everything.
Heavenly.
Usually those people have just spent a week at Belbray.
Is that right?
They have had a glimpse of heaven. They've had a glimpse of heaven. They've been that close. They can touch it and smell it. And then they've been dragged back to reality when they've had to pack their bags and leave. And they want to get back. People are trying to top themselves to get to Belbray.
Is that right? So people are getting in the buses and heading up the territory just so that they can meet Maurie and Gwen?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a long stretch
it's
to go.
It's worth it.
But there's a simpler way.
Is there?
That's by playing Moment of Truth. Call now, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Molloy, brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. And for safety's sake...
It's Martin Molloy. We're playing Moment of Truth, and Mick's got us a contestant. The name of that contestant, Mick,
is Bridget. Hello, Bridget.
Hello.
Oh, how are you?
Good, thank you.
You in the car, are you?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good.
Crystal clear.
Great.
I think you just went through a tunnel then, did you?
I stopped.
Okay, now, do you know how Moment of Truth works?
No, you better tell me.
Okay, now, normally Pete Smith does the rules, of course, but he went off again yesterday.
Did he?
Bloody ragtime music. So instead, here are the rules. It's 4 p.m.
Doom, doom.
Four facts, just one is true. Which one it's true? Moment of truth. Okay, guys, let's fly with the funky.
Oh, thanks, guys. You can go now. Collect your check at the reception. Good on you. Now, did you get the gist of it from that, Bridget?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Good on you. Now, today's question is from today's newspaper. In fact, the name of PLO leader Yasser Arafat's new baby daughter is A, Suha,
B, Zawa,
C, Zsa Zsa,
D, Tank Girl.
What was A?
A was Suha.
And B was Zawa.
And it's really one of them. I think we know that.
B.
Yes. Oh. Indeed, it's Zawa, because Suha is in fact Yasser's missus. And you've got a copy of the Max Sharam album.
Yes.
It's a beauty. And you've gone into the draw for that trip to Bellbrae.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
And I think are we drawing that tomorrow? Great. Yes, we're drawing it live on the show tomorrow, so be listening at that time.
Good luck, Bridget.
Thank you.
And thanks for playing Moment of Truth. Here on Martin Malloy, and here's a rather seedy little story. In fact, you might want to just turn the radio off for a couple of minutes if this kiddie's listening. But we assure you this is authentic. This is straight off the internet today. Film editors are working overtime to get rid of shots of Michael Jackson's genitals from his latest video. Now, I'm sorry, I didn't think Michael Jackson had genitals. You know, after years of knife work and sculpting, I've just assumed he's like an Action Man doll downstairs. But
have you seen the video in question?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's very interesting. Well, he's standing there, right, and everything's fine, and then the camera pulls back, and there, in full view of everyone, are his exposed genitals.
He's just completely stark, is he?
No, they're in a jar on a shelf behind him, next to the Elephant Man's bones, but it's not good. I mean, obviously, they don't mind showing other people's genitals, because I noticed they had plenty of shots of his nose.
Oh, but this is completely true, this story. The editors are flat chat trying to make sure his video for the song You Are Not Alone does not feature footage of Jackson naked in the water, and do we need to see that? The video has to be ready for its premiere on American television tomorrow night, and record company executives have insisted the accidental shots of Jacko's tackle be removed. I think that's a good move from the executive.
Absolutely.
But firstly, how come nobody spotted it until the editing stage? Wouldn't the cameraman notice it through the viewfinder? I mean, what do they say? You know, hair in the gate? I mean, wouldn't they do checks? And I mean, couldn't the continuity person just sing out, you know, Michael, COD's in? You know, why has it been left so late?
I don't know. Tony, the furor over Michael Jackson's genitalia is not new. This is just the latest chapter in a long-running saga. You'll remember all that unfortunate trouble about those allegations that he was involved with some time ago. Well, at that time, you might remember, the police actually photographed Michael Jackson's genitalia.
I thought
at the time, oh, those cops, they know what they're doing, aren't they? They're standing around going, well, what do you think we should do? Or, I don't know, why don't we photograph his nuts? What for? Well, I don't know, could be fun. And if it can't be used as evidence, maybe to make a pretty good album cover. There's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine going down to Brash's and just flicking through the Michael Jackson section. Huh, bad. Dangerous. Oh, look, scrotum.
S.A.R.